Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime Event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a My Lowe's Rewards or a My Lowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime Event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This is the Fife Fan. We're your host, Pete Hoffman. You can follow me TikTok at Hoff WFAN, Twitter at the Hoff WFAN, at the Fife Fan WFAN, everywhere else. The Fife Fan with Pete Hoffman. That's Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, WFAN.com, and the Odyssey app. I am not going to be on air this weekend, but I will be on air the following weekend. So next Sunday, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., you will find me on air, talking everything, maybe a little UFC too, whatever. We talk a lot of sports on WFAN, so you name it, we talk it. Just call in, listen, whatever it is. But next Sunday morning, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., I forgot the date on that. Is that the 16th? Not the 16th. That's definitely not the 16th. Maybe it's the 17th. Maybe it's the 18th. Maybe it's the 19th. One of those dates, whatever that Sunday is, June. Let's see. I think it's June 19th. That makes sense to me. That's what I'm going to go with. But I'll be on from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. on WFAN. That being said, been a very busy week for myself, so I'm not going to dive into as much as I normally do. Some nuances, some breaking news and whatnot. Going to be pretty focused on just the UFC 275 card, which, to be fair, looking at it, early prelims in general, there are some good fights on there. It's just not, the names don't really pop out as much. There's only like three or four names that you really are able to get excited about or dive into and really be able to break down as much. Partly because of the location. They are in, was it Singapore? Is that where they're at? Usually what they do, like, you know, if you're new to the UFC or these promotions or whatever it is, they always try to focus on the locality of it. So the location, like, for example, UFC July 16th, whatever the event is UFC on ABC, it's going to be in Long Island, UBS Arena. That card is going to be stacked with a lot of local fighters. Now, there's going to be some Long Island fighters, of course, but there's going to be Jersey, there's going to be upstate New York. A lot of local fighters in the tri-state area are going to be on that card. You could already see it already. Or tie people that have ties to the local area, the New York area. So when you go to Singapore, you're going to see a lot of names that we are not as familiar with because they're just getting a lot of local talent. Doesn't mean that the fights aren't going to be good because, again, you have to remember this. The one thing I respect about the UFC compared to any other league out there is McMaynard, and I'm blanking on the guy's name. McMaynard and Sean Shelby are fantastic at being matchmakers. Joe Silva was really good too, you know, and a lot of people had ups and downs about him. Some people loved Joe Silva. A lot of people didn't like him. Some people thought he was very cold. He wasn't as personable. It seems like McMaynard, Sean Shelby, from what I see, I get the idea, the feel that they're very good at their job. Personally speaking, as far as like, you know, on a personal relationship thing, that they're at least connect better with their fighters. But on top of it, you just watch the fights. The fights have been fantastic over the past couple years. When they've taken over, the matchmaking has been fantastic. And that's a lot. Dana White has something to do with that. But Mick Maynard and Sean Shelby are the two that really get should get the praise. Those are the that's their jobs. They go out there and matchmake these. They put together these fights. So whether or not you and I may know these names, they still can put together a card that's very entertaining. And that's the goal. That is always the goal. Now, I'm not saying, like, again, I always preface that, you know, there's other promotions out there that do a very good job. They get some names in there, you know, or they try to pump up their fights. The PFL, again, has been doing a really good job. If you look at what they've done, the quality of fighter they have is incredible. It really is. The fact that they have a league, the fact that they make them fight, you know, potentially three or four times a year. I think it's three times that they end up fighting. Four times possibly. The playoffs are always, I always forget how many fights in a year. Regardless, they're in there. It's very impressive what they do with the quality fight that they bring in and the amount of money they're able to hand out. It's very nice. And again, you're talking about fighters that don't normally get these levels of money because, you know, UFC is the main promotion. They don't really pay out as well. So you want to be in the top promotion. You don't get paid out as much. You want to go to Bellator of the world. You might get paid a little bit more. But the quality of fights for the fans may not be as great. And also, too, the other thing, too, is even the small fighters on there as well, they might not be getting paid as much either. Just because they're in Bellator doesn't mean they're all getting souped up, you know, cars or whatnot. They're still, it's... There's a give and take here. So just remember that. One thing I do want to get into that I totally blitzed on. So the other breaking news that came out yesterday. I'm a big BKFC guy. I'm starting to get into it. A lot of, we talk about fighters that are going to PFL, fighters that are going to Bellator. Well, Mike Perry, we know, is in BKFC now. They just scooped up a nice one fight deal. And Scott Coker is very smart. And this is what's good about Scott Coker and what's good about Dave Feldman from BKFC. You know, again, allowing people like Jimmy Rivera, who I had on last week, say he can do other things along with fighting BKFC, which is really nice. Well, BKFC and Bellator got together and said, Mike Perry, MVP, Michael Venom Page, they're going to fight in a BKFC fight. That is awesome. That is a great cross-promotion. It's very cool. I'm not sure exactly what... I forgot the date, if they even have one, but that... Obviously, they have a date. But that's going to be taking place in a BKFC-style fight, and that's awesome. So I like to see the little cross-promotion. I don't know if that's going to happen often with other promotions like the UFC. I don't see that happening. I just truly don't. I think that they're very hands-on with their fighters, you know. The ones that are threatened, the ones that are the huger threat to get bigger paydays, I think Dana will take care of them so they don't let go. The fighters that are on the lower cusp of finances, you know, that are you know, trying to make it, that could get opportunities on the promotions, they'll just let them go, I think, if that's the case. So right now, UFC has that hold on these fighters. So you won't be able to see the one-offs like you will with the MVP. Listen, Bellator's smart. They really are. They try to be. They try to highlight certain fighters, and they're trying to build their brand. And MVP, they've done nothing over the past few years but try to highlight him as one of the best fighters of all time. That's debatable. You think he's great, but there's always something else that he leaves a little opening of debate there of he's a good fighter, but you question it. Is he really a good fighter? Why do I feel like he's a little overrated? That's the presence that comes off. That is what the feel is, the vibe is whenever I watch MVP. Whenever he knocks out his opponent, whenever he finishes his opponent, it feels, that was cool, but I question that. And I don't know why. So this is actually a very interesting test because, you know, he can't sit there. A lot of MVP is based off the leg kicks and whatnot. You know, he's got a lot of karate style stylistic approaches to him. He kind of stands like a wonder boy or side approach. It's not the orthodox style presentation of a fighter. So it's going to be interesting to see how he works himself in a fight. Again, bare knuckle as well. It's going to be interesting. So that is just a nugget that I thought was notable. But anyway, let's get to these fights. You got three on this UFC 275 card that are, again, I'll watch the early prelims and the prelims, and I'll be entertained. Those are free. Enjoy those. If you go, well, those are not big names. There's nothing to watch, whatever. That's fine. But you cannot deny how good of a three main fights on this UFC 275 are pretty ballsy, pretty awesome. And I watched a hype video of Joanna Jędrzejczyk not too long ago, and I'm like, wow, this person, she's really phenomenal. But it's the rematch of Wally Zhang versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk, both former champions. Wally Zhang defended her title versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk in one of the sickest fights. Was it the fight of the year? I believe it definitely was up there. If it didn't win fight of the year, it was ridiculous. But that was an incredible fight between Wally Zhang and Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and we'll go down in the record books as one of the best fights of all time. The two went to war. It was a battle. Joanna Jędrzejczyk looked really good. You know, if you look at Joanna Jędrzejczyk's career, how dominant she was for quite some time. There was a couple opponents that gave her a couple hiccups. Her battles with, Rose Namajunas, clearly. Carla Esparza had her moment. But Claudia Godella. That's the girl I'm thinking about. Claudia Godella had her, they had those battles, and Godella actually had a couple rounds here and there that looked promising. I felt like if she went a couple different tactical approaches, she maybe was able to steal a fight from her. But Joanna has just been so dominant for so long, and then she runs into Rose Namajunas, and she, at MSG, gives the speech of Boogie Woman, and it was, I mean, you talk about chills when those two stepped in the cage together. And when Namajunas landed that strike, Thug Rose with that strike that landed on Joanna, knocked her out, knocked it down, and finished the fight, and it was over in the first round. Incredible. And again, something about Rose Namajunas and MSG, it's just special. The crowd loves her. But Joanna suffered a setback. That was her first loss to defend the title. And it just, you know, it was so weird because Joanna, not saying that she never yapped. She's always a yapper. She's always a talker. But that was the first time that someone shut her up and put her out like that. And that was crazy to see because Joanna was so dominant up until that point. And Rose, not saying she's not a knockout artist, but that was very special to see her lay her out like that. The first round was incredible. And then they had the rematch, and it was just not as good in Barclays. It was a five-round fight. It went the whole distance. And, again, Rose proved she was the better of the two fighters and was able to basically control that fight, outwork her, outstrike her, and, you know, basically clarified how better she was than Joanna. But the Joanna Jędrzejczyk that showed up versus Wally Zhang in that title fight was that is the Joanna of old. Now, she hasn't been back in 2 years. That's her last fight, is the Wally Zhang fight. So the fact that she's back, it's 2 years later. What can we see out of her? Do we see a ring rust situation? I hate the long layoffs. We've seen that before. We've seen, you know, Santiago Ponzinibbio show up after 2 years. You know, the first fight back didn't look as good. We've seen a lot of fighters that, you know, just the ring rust, and I hate to say that, but that's something that is real. So what do we get out of Joanna, who is highly motivated, a trash talker like no one else, or at least likes to be a trash talker or try to be a trash talker? She's going to go in there uber confident, but stepping into that cage, you know, Wally Zhang, She lost the belt to Rose. I can't believe she lost the belt to Rose, and then Rose had that stinker of a fight to Carla Esparza. That always just throws me off. I can't believe Carla Esparza is the champion still. Just going back to that fight of how terrible for five rounds that fight was. I don't know if we ever did I talk about that at all? Did I dive into how terrible of a fight that is? Because I mean, I know I'm off base right now, but that was a terrible fight. So yeah, Rose took out Wale and then had that five rounder again versus Wale and was able to hold on to the belt, but she lost to Carla Esparza. I mean, how many strikes did she throw? Regardless. Wale's motivated. Joanna's motivated, I think. It's going to be a fun fight. The first fight was ridiculous. Now, listen, Joanna has the height. Well, and she has a little bit of the reach, too. She has both the height and the reach. So, we saw how that works out. We saw that they both are going to... I'm curious to see if they have a different approach. If they're just going to go out there and try to strike the whole time. If they're just going to make this a stand-up fight. Or if Joanna wants to take this to the ground, or Wale wants to take it to the ground. Because that last battle, I'm sure they both went in there not expecting it to be a five-round war the way it was. So I'm curious to see if they want to go about this a different way, because that takes a toll on you. That does. You know? And neither of them could finish each other at all. And no matter what, I know that Joanna looked worse because she had that huge hematoma on her head. But they both looked like terrible. They both look crap. So I'm curious to see really what Joanna will do and Wale will do. Will they sit there and try to strike again for three straight rounds? I think it's an impossible task to ask. I don't see that. I don't know if there's going to be a finish, but I just don't see it being as entertaining because there's no way you could sit there for another three rounds. It's like a Gaethje and Michael Chandler fight. Like, that was just perfect. If you do a rematch again, do you think it's going to go exactly the same way? It could, but I mean, they were... You talk about two fights that fighters were just trading punches left and right and were... You just didn't know what was going to happen at any point in time. It's tough to recreate that. So, the expectations are a little bit lower. And I don't even know who... it's a toss-up. I want to say Joanna finds a way to get back into the win column because I think she needs it. But Wale Zhang is legit. So we shall see. I think I'll lean on Joanna on that one. That's where I'm at. I think that seems like a good call there. And Wale, that's nothing against Wale at all because she's amazing. So then you go to the co-main event. It's Valentina Shevchenko versus Talia Santos. Now, Santos is 19-1. She's 5'5". She's got about an inch and a half reach, okay? So inch difference in height, a little bit more of a reach. You look at her, she beat Joanne Wood, she beat Roxanne Modafferi, Jillian Robertson, Molly McCann. She lost to Mara Romero Barella. That's her one UFC loss. Well, she beat anybody else, so that's it. Now, I'm not trying to say that Talia Santos is not a good fighter, but the level of fighters that she's gone up against, Joanne Wood has seen a title fight in her day, but no one is on that level of a Shevchenko. Like, that's the thing. Did she fight? No, she didn't even fight. I thought Joanne Wood did. I think that was the eliminator. I don't think she did fight the title fight. I'm wrong on that. She seemed like she should have. Oh, did she have to cancel a fight? I can't remember what that was now. I think Shevchenko had to cancel a fight, and then she lost to Lauren Murphy, which then led to Lauren Murphy getting the title fight. That's what it was. She was scheduled for it. It didn't happen. Okay. Memories is starting to, work again. Regardless, no one is on the level of Valentina Shevchenko. I'm sorry. Not in this flyweight division. I would love to see Shevchenko go back up bantamweight more time and give Amanda Nunes a real run for her money because I think she really could could take her there. Will that happen? I'm not sure. But there's a few contenders in this flyweight division. I always talk about Angela Lee. I would love for her to get a title shot. I think she's due. I think she's up there. But I don't expect much out of here because Valentina Shevchenko is so perfect in every way. You know, it's not just, you know, every strike is demoralizing. But she's fast. She's strong. She's precise. And I've never seen an opponent, even with Amanda Nunes when she beat her, she didn't do anything to really cause concern for Shevchenko. Like, Shevchenko's never been in that moment of a fight where, like, you talk about Colby Covington, right? Colby Covington leading up to the Kamaru Usman fight, right? He lost one round up until that point. And it's crazy to say, but he lost one round. And he said he was injured. He got choked out. And that was about it. If he was choked out or knocked out, whatever it was, he lost in the first round of a fight. Besides that, like, you look through all the other fights, he never really lost a round at all. And that's kind of like the status of Valentina Shevchenko. Now, listen, Kamaru Usman put a work in on Colby Covington, and even that Masvidal fight, look what happens. Like, he's a different level fighter versus other people besides Kamaru Usman. Those two match up very well together because they take out the ground game. Valentina Shevchenko has not seen an equal yet. The only equal that she's seen, I guess, is Amanda Nunes, and they were on a level of respect for each other where Amanda Nunes did not engage and not try to take her out like a normal opponent. Did not try to outstrike her. Knows that Valentina Shevchenko is scary and wasn't engaging in that war. You know, she knows how good Shevchenko was. So she won on merit and I guess outstriking, but it wasn't like she did much damage. And that's what I meant to say. Not outstriking. She didn't do enough damage to really feel like she won the fight. She just maybe had a little bit more of an outpointing. But that's it. And that's what I'm saying. Shevchenko, besides that, never has really lost a fight. So I don't think this is going to be close. I hate that because if it's a title fight, that just shows how good Valentina Shevchenko is because when she goes up against these opponents, they look basic. But that's a credit to Shevchenko, not a knock on their opponents. Anyway, I'd like to see what's going on in the future. Talia Santos, I hope she can find a way to at least make it look good. But I don't see it. And after that, what's next for the flyweight? I mean, there's really no one else that there's a couple fighters, but still not enough to really drive that division. It's still very top heavy. It's her and basically everyone else. And then you got the main event, Glover Teixeira versus Jari Prochazka, which is going to be very interesting and fun. I love Glover Teixeira. What he did versus Blachowicz was amazing. You know, at his age, to win a title is incredible. Jiří Prochazka is a different character, though, man. He really is. He's very electric, and I just think that he's going to... What he did to Dom Reyes, what he's done in the past to other fighters, I just think he's at a different level than Glover Teixeira as far as charisma, energy. Teixeira is that old, savvy vet. Who, and I don't say old as like in a, you know, to diminish anything at all, but he's a veteran. He's a smarter fighter. He understands what to do when he takes punishment. He understands how to put his opponents in positions to win a fight. But Jiří is just an oddball. He's unorthodox. He's an oddball type of fighter. His movements are very unexpected. He throws you off with how his presentation is. He's always moving, and I think that's going to be a lot for Glover Teixeira to handle. Now, this fight, I think, is going to stay standing for the most part. At least that's where Jiří wants the fight to be, is standing. Teixeira, he's got knockout power. He's got some striking skills, But I think it's just going to be too much, too confusing for Glover. Now, if Glover can get him on the ground, we have a different story there. It's going to be tougher for Glover to find that ability to get Jiří on the ground. And that's where it's going to be. Those are the levels. Jiří standing compared to Glover on the ground, that's where the fight's going to be. At the fight standing, I feel Yuri's got the edge. If it's on the ground, Glover can remain a champion. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week with more. July, I think, is going to pick up a little bit more with the guests and all this other stuff. I get a lot of opportunities for guests. I just don't have the time right now, which is crazy. If you guys see, I got the Monday through Friday with the Tiki and Tierney. I got my hosting shifts. I got a new podcast with Evan Roberts, the Rico Bronya podcast. Got baseball with the kids. It's been a little crazy, a little hectic. And July is going to be a good month, especially for the Long Islanders with UBS Arena, the UFC going there. All right, thank you for listening. I appreciate it, as always, following. And I will see you guys next week on The Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!